الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا Continuing with the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he enters Makkah Mukarramah on the 4th of Zulhijjah, that is a Sunday. From the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, the 8th, they will go to Mina Munawwara. So those 4 days, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he will stay at a place which is called Abtah. Like how, example, many people stay now in Aziziya. So he stayed Abtah, which was between Mina. And Mina, we know, is not far from where we are. And Makkah Mukarramah. And closer to Mina. So obviously, we're not staying in Abtah, but at least those people who are in Aziziya can say that. For 4 days, we're fulfilling that sunnah also. Like we're staying closer to Mina. And between Mina and Makkah. So the place was known as Abtah. During these 4 days, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would definitely go to the Haram. Most likely he would go at night, but it's not recorded. One reason is, if he would go, he wouldn't tell everyone that I'm going. Because there were an entire group that had come, they had camped out. So now if he goes and everyone wants to go, what, it becomes very difficult. So quietly at night he would go and he would come back, because there is narrations mentioning when he was there by the Ka'batullah, and he gave his own khutbah there also. But then definitely there were few people who were going to be listening to that one. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the time that he was, that is why most likely you could say it's also like a sunnah. Sunnah in the meaning that it's most likely something he also did during the days leading up to the Hajj. He used to go and make tawaf also. But he used to go quietly, there was not a big group going, and he would come back quietly. During these 4 days, mention is made of the visit of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his uncle. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu an became very, very ill. This is a very unique incident mentioned in the books of Ahadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam respected him a lot. He would call him my uncle. He was not really the uncle. But because he came from that clan which was like, what we will say, the clan of the mother of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in that manner, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, like, he's like my mother's brother. Meaning from my mother's clan. And he would give him that respect as though like an uncle, but he was not an uncle. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu was the first one perhaps to shoot an arrow in the path of Almighty Allah. He was amongst the Ashara Mubashara. But he becomes so ill when he's now coming for this Hajj, that he really feels he's going to pass away. So it was during this that you almost by Hajj, you came so far and now you get sick. From here, if anyone gets very sick, and at least they can say, I'm fulfilling that sunnah of a sahabi, that he also got very sick and he also thought, I might be going now. So because of which, he decided to make his wasiyah. And if I pass away, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to visit him. So he's worried of two things. One is, sahaba radiallahu anhum, because they made hijrah from Makkah Mukarramah. Hijrah means I left Makkah. So they never ever wanted to come back to Makkah Mukarramah and pass away. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also never wanted that. You must pass away in any land besides Makkah. So that your hijrah, your leaving Makkah is complete. And I never leave it, and as soon as I got the chance, I came back. So every sahabi, when he was coming now for this final Hajj, his one thought must be, I mustn't pass away. Otherwise to pass away in Makkah Mukarramah is a great honor. But day for them to pass away here was, it was like my Hajj Hijrah is not complete. But he became so sick, so that was the one thing that he worried about. Well, I passed away. So he even asked, am I going to be left behind? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave what an answer. He said, am I going to be left behind after my friends go? Meaning they'll return and I'll be left behind and I'll pass away. So he told him, you will be left behind. Same thing he asked. Gave the same answer. He said, you will be left behind so long that a huge nation will benefit from you, a huge nation will be harmed by you. So he asked, will I be left behind means, well, I'm going to pass away. He said, you're going to be left behind for very long. Left behind means I'm going to go also. I'm going to pass away, you're still going to be left behind. For 40 years more he was going to live. He was going to be the conqueror of Iraq, what we call today the Persian Empire. He broke through the whole Persian Empire. Whoever accepted Islam was on his hands. Whoever fought and were killed was on him. 40 years after this was. So he really thought, I'm going. Maybe it's on some one sentence. You're going to be left behind for very long. Second thing he said is, I got so much of wealth. And then from my inheritance, what he meant like inheritors, you call something called Zawil Furud. Those inheritors who got a set share. And then you get those inheritors who take everything. So they are called Asaba. Asaba means they'll take the remaining. A son is an Asaba. A brother is an Asaba. But from the ones that got a set share, he had a daughter, Aisha. So he says, I leave behind one daughter. So she's going to take half of my inheritance. Half. That's lot. What's one girl going to do with so much? And they were very wealthy by this time. So he said, I feel that I want to give most of my wealth away. And then she'll still get her small amount. But she doesn't have to get so much. Why must she get so much? What's she going to do with it? What he meant is that there'll be no sawab in her taking my money. I'd rather give it away to others. And there's no need. She'll be married. Somebody else will look after her. So he says, can I give away? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. He said, I want to give away two-thirds. Two-thirds of my wealth. Then from the remaining one-third, which was going to be a huge amount, my daughter is going to get half from that one-third, which is a very big amount. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no way. Too much. So he said, okay, can I give away half my wealth? And then from the remaining half, she's going to get half of that. That's a lot. I said, no way. I said, what about one third? So he said, you may give away one third, but one third is also a lot. That is why ulama have mentioned to give away slightly less than one third. If you want to make a wasiyat, a bequest, so and so madrasa must get, and just less than one third of your wealth. And two-thirds must be for your inheritors. Amazing inheritors are such people that they'll get so much from you, but they'll never ever thank you. You did already. But if they know that you are going to make for one-third, and then you said, you know what, I think I'll make less than one-third, so that they can get a little bit extra, they'll only thank you for that extra. As though the other two-thirds was theirs from the beginning. Now you gave them at least that last small amount. You say, hey, lucky, he never want to give us nothing. He said, give less. He said, one-third is lot also. So then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, remember one principle in life. Why he told him this year is, why he asked the question, I want to give away so much. That my daughter doesn't need so much. He asked it because he thought that in his daughter taking, there's no reward behind it. So he taught him a principle. He said, وَإِنَّكَ لَن تُنْفِقَ نَفَقَةً. That in life you will never spend anything. And the principle behind that spending is the pleasure of Allah. Except that Allah will give you a reward for it. You will never spend anything with an intention for Allah, except that you will get a reward. So he said, one is you saying, I want to give charity. So your intention is Allah, you'll get your reward. If you take that same intention and you spend on your daughter, Allah will give you the same reward. Said, like, why you don't want to give her? For reward you want. So what's making you think there's reward and here there's no reward? said, wherever you will put Allah's name. Said, to such an extent that if you put food in your wife's mouth, so the wording he uses, you put the luqma, the morsel in the mouth. But the real meaning behind it is, you have to feed your wife. That's like a necessity of life. But if your intention behind it is the happiness of Allah, then every morsel that she eats because of you, you will get reward from there, like how you will get reward if you give somebody else food also. So a man normally goes looking for a poor person to give food. And when the poor person takes it, isn't he feels like, I gave charity. That same person goes to the market to buy food for his family. Now he sees the price of food is very expensive in the market. So he always complains of inflation. All he has to do is, he says, oh Allah, I'm spending this money to put food in front of my family. So inflation will not depress him now. Inflation will make him more happy. That last year I was only giving 20,000 rand for Allah. This year I have to give 25,000. So the price of things going up, petrol. Whenever the price of petrol goes higher, you see some people's blood pressure goes higher. They live on this petrol thing. But if a man's intention when he fills up his car is the pleasure of Allah. I need to go to the masjid. I need to earn halal for my family. I need to come back and visit my family. I need to visit my mother and father. Now every liter that he's using, instead of him feeling I'm burning money, he will rather say I'm making palaces in Jannah. And where last year I was only giving 50,000 for Allah, this year because the government put up the price, I'm giving 60,000. He said, whatever your intention is, even if it's putting the morsel in your wife's mouth, Allah will give you the reward there. You don't only have to look at charity outside, said, bring it inside also. This is a very unique lesson. In that was the lesson, because remember the Sahabi was sick also. He never even know if he's going for Hajj. So normally a man will get sad, what if I don't make it for Arafah? So he said, if your intention of coming was the pleasure of Allah, wherever you will spend, you're going to get. Wherever you're going to spend, you're going to get. And there is no issue about only if I do certain things can I get. We saw by Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib. He explained someone, he himself became very ill at the end of his life. He was paralyzed for about 10 years. He could not do what he would do once upon a time. And he would say one thing quite often, to be happy with the decision of Allah. He said, how to give zakat and to perform salah is farz. He said, to be happy with Allah's decision is also farz. Sometimes a person gets depressed. A man comes for Hajj, gets sick. Someone came and they got very ill. So the days were going and they couldn't even go out of the hotel room. So there was a sheikh of the time that was there, he complained to him, I wasted my Hajj. So he asked, how? He said, up till now I haven't even been able to spend time in the haram. He said, you know, if your heart is happy with Allah's decree, Allah will pay you more than He pays everyone else. Because the heart is the king. The difference between a heart and the body, you will see some of the people sweeping the haram. They do lot work. But you'll see when you walk past them, they stop sweeping. Have you noticed that? Why they stop sweeping? Because they want to tell you, I stopped so that if you got any change in your pocket, please give it to me. Which means he's doing lot work, but he's not getting paid. Then you see some people who are not sweeping. They are sitting in an air-conditioned room. They are doing nothing. But they are getting paid so much that they can give you charity also. When you tell the man, you are hardly doing anything, that man on the ground is doing hard labor. How come he gets paid so little, you get paid so much? So the answer will be that I am getting paid for my mind. The job I got to do with the mind. He is getting paid for his body. The body gets paid the least. The mind gets paid much more. That's why when you are a manager, you are a director of a company, you're not doing anything with your body. You're just relaxing at home also, but your mind is the thing running the company. And then you get one thing higher than the mind. It's called the heart. The heart gets the highest pay. If this heart is happy with Allah, a man becomes sick on a journey of Hajj. Finally, he is only able to go from the hospital to the plains of Arafat and back. And some people go to visit him and say, hey, you must be feeling very bad. What a place to get sick. And he says, I'm happy with the decree of Allah. That he wanted to see me in this condition. He said, I made dua when I had strength. I slept when I never. That man perhaps might get more reward of Hajj than the entire plain of Arafat. Because his heart. This is a lesson me and you must learn. That if the intention behind something is the pleasure of Allah, then how we think where Allah pays, Allah also pays out of there. One person on Jummah wants to enter the Haram. He leaves very early, they close the doors. He can't enter. He's very sad, I can't get in. I say, why are you sad? If you had done it with the intention of Allah, and that Allah who's paying the people inside, you think he's not going to pay you. As soon as you left, your intention was haram. Now when you can't get in, Allah is not going to say, you never made it, no pay. If man understands that my Allah is giving, he'll be relaxed. Which a poet said, Mutma'in beta huwa ya Rab. And oh my Allah, now today I have become very calm in life. After I learned one thing, to hakim bi, hakim bi. Hakim, you are full of wisdom. So if you wanted me out of the haram, it's full of wisdom, I'm happy with it. Hakim, you are so powerful, if I wanted to fight your decision, I can't fight it also. So instead of fighting with your decision, I'm happy with your decision. That man in life will always take things calm. He plans, and he must work for his plan. And when the plan doesn't work, he mustn't become excited, upset. He doesn't blame anyone, he must just be relaxed. And I did what I have to do, and I reached here. And if my intention was the happiness of Allah, and if the happiness could find me on the other side of the fence, it would find me on the side of the fence. So how the world understands business, with Almighty Allah, business doesn't work like that. In the business world, you get paid on the completion of the work. So Almighty Allah, you get paid when you try and you allow results to come from Allah. That man gets paid the most. So Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu's incident happened during these 4 days, and a unique lesson he left for mankind. Then came Thursday. It was the 8th of Zulhijjah. For us, it will be Friday. We were very close, but because the moon was seen earlier maybe. So we missed out one. But again, we'll be very happy with the decision of Allah. So on the 8th of Zulhijjah, on a Thursday, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam now starts his journey towards Mina. Bilal radiallahu anhu has a stick. On the stick, there's a cloth fixed to the stick. So he puts it on top of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam like an umbrella. So you will see in your bags, they gave you one small umbrella. So even if you were thinking not to use it, just take it out for the purpose of that sunnah also. It's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had like an umbrella. Bilal radiallahu anhu was holding it. And that is also a part of the sunnah of Hajj. These are not sunnahs like what you call you have to do. And if a person does it, he will say, you know, at least I know my Nabi also did it. At Mina, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performs the Zuhar Salah. Zuhar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. This year it will be maybe Jummah. And there will be Asr, Maghrib, Isha. Sometimes we'll make Zuhar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. On that night, the surah was revealed. وَالْمُرْسَلَاتِ عُرْفَ. This is a very long surah. It was revealed on that night of Mina. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, while he was reading the surah, the Sahabi radiallahu anhu was listening to it, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, says, while he was reading it, a snake came out. So definitely other Sahaba saw the snake. But because of that majlis of honor, Quran is being read, it seems no one wanted to kill the snake. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had to stop reading and say, kill the snake, meaning it's going to attack you. So I don't think this amal will get in Mina, inshallah, and don't wait for it. We don't want to see any snake coming out. But if you do find like a scorpion or a mosquito, you're allowed to kill a mosquito also. So if there is one insect in Mina troubling you, then you can say that Allah's Nabi told them, go for it. So then you can go for it on that night. They missed it, but the snake, when it realized that they're coming, the question is, why did the snake come out? Normally a snake does not come out when there are people around. Who knows, maybe that snake came out to listen to Quran. Maybe it came out only to listen to Quran. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw it's going to harm someone, so he said, kill it. Immediately the snake turned and went back. When the snake went back in its hole, it gave a lesson to mankind. Sahaba radiallahu anhu reached there. First they weren't going for it. But when they went for it and they missed it, now you normally feel, I just missed it. So now you wait for it. Somehow or the other, I'm going to get it. Pull it out. So that's when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave this principle, that it has been saved from your harm. Meaning Allah never wanted to die. And you have been saved from its harm. Meaning the work is done. When I told you kill it, I meant don't let it bite you. But now that it's gone, don't go behind it. Our people's nature is, when we start something, we want to make sure we finish it. So in South Africa, many a time this has happened. This is just an example. Someone steals your phone. When he steals your phone, he runs. So at that time, your natural response will be, jump out of my car and chase him. You don't even think that next to me my wife is sitting. She's going to be here for the next 5 minutes alone. Is it worth it? I'm going to be chasing him in a place I don't know what's happening there. I may not come out alive. Sometimes I'll go looking for my phone and I'll die. If ever it happens, think of the snake. And once the snake went, they were told, stop now. Leave it. You were saved of its harm, it's saved from your harm. If you see the thing go, in life never chase after anything. What's gone is gone. You will always get something better. There's no need to chase. A lot of times when people chase, after you ask them that, when you were going to reach where you reached, what were you going to do after that? So the man said, I never thought of it. And when I reach there, I think about it. He said, what a thing, like you put your life in danger. Not even thinking, okay, when I get there and I catch the guy, then what? But how am I going to fight it? But man at that moment when he runs, so I want one lesson to be learned, think of the snake. First they were not going for the snake when he told them, go for it. When they missed it, they waited. So he told them, now leave it now. It's gone, safe from your harm, you are safe from its harm. When you will sit in the tent of Mina on the 8th, think of the sunnah. The snake. If you can read the surah Mina on the 8th, Wal Mursalati Urfa. If you can look at the meaning of the surah. If we got chance that night, after Fajr, sometimes we are doing it. But on the 8th, if there is time, there might not be time. But if time, we will do the surah Wal Mursalat to get the sunnah. It was on that night that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read the surah. Sahaba radiallahu anhu heard it. They took it from his blessed mouth. They even said his mouth was wet as he was reciting it, to fulfill that sunnah. But if we don't get a chance, everyone in the tent of Mina, take out Wal Mursalat, look at its meaning, read it, think there was a reason why in Mina, right at the ending, this was that surah that came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam right at the ending. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, when he read the surah one time, his mother said to him, that this is the last surah I had heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reading in his Maghrib Salah. This is the last surah, meaning when he came back to Medina Munawwara. From the last surahs, perhaps it was the last that he read loudly, or it was the last that she heard him reading. But she heard the surah Wal-Mursalat in the Maghrib Salah. So all of that happened in Mina, Zuhar Asr, Maghrib Isha. The next day Fajr. And now it's the 9th of Zulhijjah, the day of Arafah. It was a Friday. So that, to have a Friday and Arafah is a very big thing. But is there any extra virtue regarding it? So according to what's authentic, there's no extra virtue. The reward of having Arafah on a Thursday and the reward of having Arafah on a Friday is the same. Some people think that if I get Arafah on a Friday, I will get like 70 extra Hajj. So that day isn't anything authentic. But it is a big thing. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu said, that day, it was perhaps the only time, he said, not before, not after. He said it was a day where Arafah is an Eid like. Although the next day is called Eid, but Arafah is like a day of celebration, Eid. And Jummah is like an Eid. And he said it just happened on that date. The Jews, they also had an Eid they used to celebrate. It happened to be the same day. And the Christians were also having an Eid. It was that same day. And fire worshippers also. He said on that day it was the fire worshippers, the Christians, the Jews. So three Eids and our two Eids. Jummah and Arafah. He says like this it never happened before and it's not going to happen after. So that was like one special. On that day this verse was revealed. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. That today I have now completed your deen for you. And I have fulfilled my favor for you. And I am happy as Islam to be your faith. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. So a very big verse. Today it's complete. Umar radiallahu anhu starts crying. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what makes you cry? He says, you know, from the beginning, whenever new verses of Quran came, it only allowed us to increase. Today we have been told this is the end of increase. He says, after the end of increase, you can only get decrease. He says, I'm crying. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, amazing, like what you said is true. That whatever goes up and it reaches its peak now, now there's nothing to increase now. Now you have been told, here's your full Islam. But after man gets full, then you start coming down. Because man always looks for something more. Umar radiallahu anhu also cried because he also understood that this was like an indication to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that within a few days now, you also are going to be called back. So he cried for that. And it was definitely true. It was not long after that, maybe about 80 days, 81 days. Within 81 days after that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. After that, Quran was revealed, but there was no law in Quran. Do this, don't do that. A few other verses regarding Qiyamah were revealed, but no new law was revealed. This was the last that today your deen has been completed. That was on the plains of Arafah. اليوم أكملت لكم. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he goes towards Arafah, so now he is leaving Mina, and you will understand this when we are going. You will see a masjid there called Masjid al-Namira, and they will take you for ziyarah. You will see that masjid, and just after Masjid al-Namira, because Masjid al-Namira you will see it, just after Masjid al-Namira is Arafah. Before the masjid was the place where the Quraysh would come. So the Quraysh would come right to Muzdalifah. Quraysh were the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the time which we don't know when, the Quraysh never entered Arafah. We don't know why. They changed. Ibrahim alayhi salam definitely was going Arafah. But the Quraysh changed it. The Quraysh would say, like, you have the word Hamas. Hamas means fervor. They would say, we got so much inclination and fervor for the Kaaba that we can't leave the Kaaba. Now, if we have to leave, Muzdalifah is still part of it. Arafah is out. If we have to leave the Haram, they said, how can we leave the Haram? So they said, everyone else goes to Arafah, we will stay in Muzdalifah. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left, they all thought he will also stop in Muzdalifah. So because before leaving, he already said, put my tent in Namira. That already told them that he's changing this law. So he goes past Muzdalifah. Some of them felt it very hard because that year now, all the Quraysh had to leave now the old custom. In that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought in Islam, there's no place for customs. Even if your father and grandfather and great-grandfather did something, if a law comes, the law overrides everything. No girl, no boy can ever have the chance to say, no man, no woman. And my father did it like this. That word in Islam don't work. They said, our father never went to Arafah. The answer was, Arafah will not, Hajj won't take place without Arafah. So Allah's Nabi ﷺ went past. But the place he reached now, and this is such a unique place, Allah's Nabi ﷺ announced, you can make wukuf anywhere in Arafah, except in the valley of Urana. So you will see this valley. So where the tent was pitched is not clear. Some say it was pitched in Arafah, some say it was pitched in Urana, where the tent was. But the next day, when Nabi ﷺ came for his khutbah, so on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, he gives the khutbah, which we will explain in the next majlis, inshallah. But when he gives the khutbah, he gives it in the plains of Urana. So now he's out of Arafah. That's when he gives his first khutbah of Hajj. And in that khutbah, one unique thing he said is, most likely, we will not meet after this. He was going to say it a lot of times. This was one time where he said, most likely, we are not going to meet after this. And then he gave a few advices, which we will explain in detail. After that day, the Adhan was given. Zuhr and Asr was ready at that same place. So this was also out of Arafah. Zuhr and Asr. After the Zuhr and Asr, Allah's Nabi ﷺ now goes towards the mountain. They call it the mountain of Rahmah. Allah's Nabi ﷺ did not climb it at all. At the foot of a mountain, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood. He was on his animal. While he was on his animal, this verse, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum, was revealed. So because this was the time where there were many people around him, they were able to see revelation. Normally these people, in Medina Munawwara, if revelation came, there wasn't so many around. Now you can understand there's an entire majma. While he's on that animal, this verse is being revealed. Think how short this verse is. Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. Watmamtu Alaykum Ni'mati. Waradaytu Lakum Al-Islam Adina. Very short verse. But as it was being revealed, he started perspiring. And the people see the camel. The camel starts shaking. The camel, then the legs of the camel start wobbling. And then the camel sat down. It just collapsed. That camel could not take the weight of this verse. There's only one verse. What a short verse. From there, ulama said, understand what the weight would be on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when Quran was coming. Because he was taking the whole weight. The camel was only getting the diluted weight. The whole weight was on his body. And understand what strength he must have had. That sometimes he would get a whole surah. Here it was one verse for that camel. And the weight of a camel, everyone knows. A camel carries everything. That camel sat in front of everyone. Amazing. The weight of Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum of Quran. It sat. Another sahabi radiallahu anhu was on a camel. And the camel moved and he fell. He broke his neck. So here is also a place if you wish to pass away. Arafah is the best. Now you don't have camels to kill you nowadays, but you have buses. Just jump in front. He passed away. He passed away, but his Hajj is like done now. Because Hajj is Arafah. So the Hajj got done. And he passed away in Ihram. So for him, special, like, some say it's a general rule, others say no, it was a special rule. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he will be buried, number one, what is Ihram? So that, normally even all of us will do. Instead of three pieces for Ihram, he'll be buried with two pieces because it's covering his body. He said, don't cover his face. Don't cover his face. He said, for his ghusl, use water and use a little bit of the sidr. Sidr leaf. It's a leaf that got a nice smell, but it's not used as a thief, as an ithr. It says, hanut, a camphor, things with a good smell, don't use it on him. And then he gave and he mentioned, because this man, when he will stand up in front of Allah, he will stand up saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. He went on it, and he will stand up with it. So leave him as he is. Leave him. If a man passes away, there's ikhtilaf, do we cover the face or not? It's jais to cover the face. It's jais if you want to leave the face not covered. And there's no need to put itar on this person. And he can be buried with his kafan, with his ihram. And then he gets that one honor. And then the people stand up on the plains of Qiyamah, and he just stands up like Arafah. What happened at Arafah? Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu says, when Almighty Allah took from the world, when we all souls, and Allah Tabarakala showed His beauty to the world, Almighty Allah asked the question, Alastu bi Rabbikum? Am I not your Lord? Meaning, will you turn your attention to anyone besides me? At that time, seeing the beauty of Allah, everyone replied, Bala, that it's only you. There's no way we look at anyone. And then Allah Tabarakala said, I took this oath, so that later on you must not say we never knew about it. That we never knew what you are, O Allah. But then when the soul was now sent in its journey makes you forget Lord things. So it's called an ahad of alast. Ahad means an oath, alast. That Arabic word is Alastu bi Rabbikum. Am I not yours? So the ahad of Alast, which was taken from the souls, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu says, it was taken where the souls were all brought on the plains of Arafah. The souls were all brought on the plains of Arafah. And a promise was taken. Hazrat Mawlana Zakariya rahimullah mentioned, there is a great possibility that the reason why man has to come onto Arafah and Hajj is al-Arafah is where again he comes to stamp on the promise he made with Allah. That one which the world forgot, I am repeating it here again, O Allah, only you, only you, only you. And now when I go back, I won't forget it. Maybe I forgot the first one because the journey of the soul into the world. So I came here and I saw the beauty of the world and I forgot I promised you that my eye will never fall in love with anything but you. My sacrifice will only be for you, our Rabb. Everything else is zero. So sometimes when a man takes bayat to a sheikh and after many years he doesn't fulfill his zikr, then he comes back, he says, can I make tajdeed of my bayat? Tajdeed means, can I take the bayat again? Because on the way, I think I faltered. He says, but now I'm going to live up to it. Now I'm mature. Now I'm big. Now my children are married. A man comes for Hajj as though he's making tajdeed. He's renewing that pledge. I've come back to the same place, but now I'm mature. And if I had forgotten the first pledge, I must not now forget this pledge. This is the Arafah. When the pledge is made, now all you have to do is when you go back home, live up to your pledge. Allah Tabarakallah allow every one of us that we can live up to this pledge right till the ending. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.